You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
God. How many of you know that God is able? I said, how many of you know that God is able? Yes, He is. You know, we're so grateful for those of you that came to the chilly night and helped out. That $800+ will help towards that work. We are going to be hitting there very soon. It looks like there's two more churches that we are going to be developing very, very soon over in the Philippines. About one is 6 hours away, one's about 4 hours away or 3 hours away from the center of Manila. And we're looking to also establish a church planting training school. There's several pastors that have contacted me that want to be trained in church planting and really want to reach their communities for Jesus. Amen? So please pray for us as we make that trip very soon. And, and I think it's really, really exciting at this juncture of the work that we are partnering with in the mission field. And we're looking to finalize also the drawings for the building over there. And so that's going to be really cool to do that. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, this is a message that I have preached before at different times over the last 7 years. I don't know if I've actually preached this in its entirety here at the church. And I think I preached this at several conferences where some of you may have attended. And I preached this different places around the world. But I don't know if I've actually preached this here fully, but I've used this illustration several times, so it might look familiar to you in that regard, but I'm going to give you the whole nine yards of this one over the next couple of weeks. And because of time, I'm just going to give you some introduction this morning. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, if you turn your Bibles there, please, I'll read. Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and each of us get there a log, and let us make a place for ourselves to dwell there." And he answered, "Go." Then one of them said, "Be pleased." One of them said, "Be pleased to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. Some of them say, cut down trees. Say, vision's no good unless you're doing something about it. Amen. But as one was felling, right? His axe head fell into the water. And he cried out, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Somebody say, borrowed. We talk about borrowing. I had to borrow an axe this morning. Is anyone going to throw that axe over to me? All right. So as the axe had fell into the water and he cried, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. And he said, "Take it up." Someone say, "Take it up." So he reached out his hand and took it. Several years ago, I went to a leadership meeting in which Ian Yeagleman is a lot of teachers and leaders know him in that circle, is a mentor to many leaders in Australia. He has a church, I think, in the Central Coast or Northern New South Wales. And I got his book and got him to write on it, you know, get the author to autograph your book, right? And he says nothing. Like, I said, "My name's Ted. Can you write something really nice?" And he doesn't write anything. He just writes a scripture, Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10. And I thought, oh, great. You know, now I got to go look at the Bible, what he's trying to say. And I looked at the Bible, and I thought it would be something that very encouraging, something that's really going to make me feel like, yeah, you can do it kind of thing. But to my surprise and to my chagrin, it wasn't. It was, something along the lines that if the axe is dull, it takes a lot of effort to cut. I'm thinking, what are you saying? I'm dull, right? Are you saying that I'm dull? I'm not going anywhere. And And, you know, I kind of mulled over that over the years. And really, one of the things why Christianity takes so much effort for people is because we've lost the sharpness, or we've lost the sharp edge. The move of God sharpens your edge. But if you're not careful, you will lose the edge. If you'll allow the things in life to overcome you, if you allow the burden of chasing after money becomes a burden to you, you lose your edge. If you begin to pursue other things that distract you from doing what God actually designed you for, you lose your edge. Because at the end of the day, as much as we need to make money, we need to build our businesses, right? We need to do all those things. We need to know the context or the purpose of all the other activities through the filters of the kingdom. Because you either belong to the kingdom of God or you don't. You're either a child of the kingdom or you're a child of the world. Now, if you're a child of the world, then your pursuit would be to become successful according to the standards of the world, not according to the standards of the kingdom of God. I've worked with a lot of world, with a lot of wealthy business people over the years, and the ones that I love the most are the ones that say this to me: our business, our money, and everything that we do is for the kingdom. And sure enough, it is. We met one guy. I don't know if you were with me, Blake. We went to a restaurant on the side of the road. Were you with me? Maybe it was Alan. I can't remember who it was. Someone was with me. We went to the Philippines, and one of the guys that owns several restaurants on the roadside, and quite successful. And he said to me, "All the profits that I have here is reserved for what God wants to do." He's incredibly wealthy, incredibly wealthy. Whatever God tells me to do, we just do that because we exist and we are successful because of God. In fact, he said, "Ted," or "Pastor, he made us successful so we could be a blessing." Please, if you are a leader in business or a leader in your workplace, corporate, don't pursue success for the sake of success, because you will fail. You might say, "Well, we could have more money," but more money does not mean more success. Everything you do as a child of God must be filtered through Matthew 6:33, when Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." If you're not careful, you will burn yourself out. And the trouble of the world and the disappointment of failure can become a torment to you every time you fail financially or you make a bad business decision. See, when God calls us, we're meant to have our edge continually sharp. And next week, I'm going to talk to you about how to get that edge back again. When God called me into the ministry, you know, some said, "Well, you know, at least you're focused in the ministry." I said, "No, not necessarily, because I know of other leaders and pastors who are in ministry that also have lost their edges. I'm not saying I'm sharp. I really do believe there are a few things I could do that make me sharper." So what does it mean, actually, to have that sharp edge? Well, let me give you a few things. First of all, how are you hearing God? When you are sharp, you will hear God clearly. All right? Because God is always speaking. He actually never stops talking to us. You may not hear him in a kind of manic sort of way all the time, but you will hear God in circumstances of your life. And the moment we're no longer seeking the counsel of the Holy Spirit for our decisions, that's a dangerous place where we could start losing the edge that God has given us. What gives you the edge in business, in your career path, is the fact that you do things not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. That gives you the edge. Now, if you want to keep having that edge, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to keep sharpening you. How do you keep the edge? By fellowship. How's your fellowship going? Because fellowship is not just turning up to church, by the way, although that's probably the most basic of all fellowship. Fellowship is spending time with people who will rub you up the wrong way. So I guess that's what church is in some sort of way. But no, but it's about allowing people to speak truth into your life. And And some people will say things to you that you may not agree with. Some people will say things to you that is too close to home. But if you stop having people that can speak truth into your life, you will become dull. Not only will you become dull, you'll start to believe your own press. You'll start to believe that you are above correction, and you'll become unteachable, and you'll become proud in yourself. No matter how many times you say you're humble, you'll become proud in yourself when no one speaks into your life any longer. One of the reasons people leave, small groups or church is because they don't want anybody to tell them how to live their lives. Now, I'm not saying someone should do that, but you're going to have somebody to tell you what you're doing wrong. How many of you have played athletic, sports or team sports before with a coach? How many of you at some point, you played soccer as a kid? Who has the final word on the field? The coach. Who has the final word on training? Why is that? Because his coach, not because of his coach, because he's the one that sees what you're doing wrong. He's the one that sees what's happening on the field. He'll bring you in, he'll sit you down and say, you're doing this wrong. When you get back out there, you'll do it again. So he corrects you when you're making a mistake and you're causing problems for all your other teammates. Right? That's what the ministry is. That's what small group's about. It's about being corrected. Amen? It's always difficult to say that as a pastor because someone will always have this thing in the back of their head. Some of you are probably thinking, that's, well, who corrects you? Right? As a pastor. Well, first of all, my wife. Right? I can guarantee you that you might like my preaching, but she doesn't always like my preaching. Or some things that I say that's really dumb. And she'll say things, that was a really good word, but you said something that was really dumb. It made me feel like this. And some people will probably feel like that because you said it that way. And then my kids. Right? So I have my immediate family that does that. Then I have my eldership that I give permission to speak into my life if I'm kind of going a little bit left off center. On top of that, I have an accountability system outside of our church of contemporary pastors who are much, much older than me who can speak into my life. We tell them what's happening in our church, and then they give me advice. People like Kinda Greening can do that. Phil Mutzelberg can do that. I've given them permission. Even Cole Stringer kindly says to me, Ted, I just want to tell you, this is just a little piece of advice. He just emailed me the other day, just gave me a little piece of advice that I believe is from God. And kindly they speak to me about things that I may not see, right? And on top of that, I have some peer mentoring that I do outside of our church. Several pastors are on my age group, and we talk about our struggles, and we talk about how the ministry is going, and we kind of correct each other how we should approach certain situations in the ministry. And that's not even including the Holy Spirit, who speaks to me. But you know, I really do believe this. If you haven't got people speaking into your life, there's a danger that you will not be able to discern the word of the Holy Spirit as clearly. Because God actually sets people over us to be able to help us and direct us. You might say, well, I've been a Christian a long time. I don't need anybody to tell me how to live my Christianity. I've been to Bible college. Well, certainly you're talking not like a humble person already. The moment you start telling me your accomplishments and how long you've been a Christian, you've already gone there, right? You've already gone there. And I really do believe that as we allow others, the Bible says iron sharpens iron, so does the countenance of another. What is that sharp edge? It's not just hearing God. That sharp edge, folks, is the your ability to cut through adversity. When you're going through hard times, that the hardness of your circumstance cannot withstand the sharpness in the spirit that you have to cut. You're cutting through it. The sharper you are, the less resistance there is. Don't get me wrong. The devil will come. Satan will come. Have you heard the expression? You know, more, you know, higher levels, more devils, right? You heard that expression? You know, the reality is, it's not that there's going to be more devils. You know, that's not the issue. The issue is, how sharp are you in cutting through the attacks of the enemy in your life? How sharp are you in being able to go through the storm in your life and not be affected by the storms? Jesus walking in water was so sharp, he walked on water. In the middle of the storm, he didn't run. He didn't even swim. He was having a stroll. And his stroll, quiet stroll, on the Lake of Galilee was so sharp that the storm and the wind, can you imagine a kind of wind tunnel would just hit him, and the wind and the waves would just go around him. That's what, when something is sharp, it cuts through. When you're sharp, it doesn't matter what Satan throws on you. You cut through it. You cut through it. People say something against you, you cut through it. It has no power to push you back. Come on, somebody. That's what sharpness is. You know what else sharpness is, the axe head in our lives? Is your ability to operate in the supernatural. Naturally. It's not about working yourself up to get into the presence of God or having to be in a meeting where everybody's kind of sort of engaged and all that stuff. It's about you being able to step in the moment, because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. Because you are constantly on this turbo mode. You are ready to go and step into any situation. When somebody's sick, you're able to step in and know what God wants to do for that person. When somebody is going through hard times, you know the word of wisdom. You know how to operate in the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit natural. You don't have to say, well, I have a gift of prophecy, so I'll just wait for a prophetic moment. Those moments never come. And you become frustrated because you're waiting for a moment when right now God is calling for healing to happen. And you could be sitting down waiting, well, I got no word of knowledge. Come on, somebody. The Spirit of God gives gifts to all according to his determination as the need arises. When you are sharp, you're no longer caught in what you think your office is, or you if you think you got prophetic or you're a healer, or you are a child of God, and the King of Kings, right, is living on the inside of you, and you are ready by the Spirit of God to step in. When you are sharp, you understand how to move supernaturally, naturally. But the problem is, for some of us, we've been wielding this axe for so long and we haven't sharpened it. And the situation with this man is that he lost the axe head. Next week, I'm going to really talk to you about that. We're going to kind of unpack that for you next week. And how do we get that back? I really believe that's important, because if we're going to have a move of God, we've got to stay sharp. Amen? We got to stay sharp. You know what else? What this is about, being sharp, is about your ability to keep going. To keep going and not burn out, because it's not about effort. It's about what the Spirit of God is doing through you. Amen.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au, and be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.